Well, this morning we're in a series we've been running for a couple months called In Christ Alone. And we've been looking at what we have in Jesus that brings us together. We're in a season of life. There's just so many things that can, if we let it, could divide. We feel that the tension with COVID, and it just changes stuff, our lifestyles, our work, our friendships. For those who are on the campus, I know at least Clarkson and probably all the other campuses have a lot of different changes and guidelines. You have the political parties and upcoming vote. We have racial injustice, and you could keep going on, economic things. And you could just feel it. There's just a lot of things that potentially, if we let it, could be a very big dividing point, even among Christ followers. And so this In Christ Alone, we've been really looking at Jesus, that he's the one that brings us together. He's the one we find our unity, our peace, our purpose, and our joy, and so much more. And so today's message I entitled Abiding Joy, and we'll be looking in the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 15, at a pretty well-known passage, but verses 1 to 12. And before I get there, I just want to share just a little bit about experience I had when I was a high school student. I had the opportunity with Team Missions International to go down to Ecuador in South America, and it was absolutely beautiful. I think we might even get a picture potentially up on this screen. Yeah, the hills are just gorgeous. They look almost like quilt patterns, and it was amazing. Those in Ecuador, they would farm at like every single like elevation and like vertical kind of angles and stuff that were amazing. When I was there, our translator actually mentioned that that some farmers have actually died falling out of their field because it was so steep on an elevation that once they got out, they just couldn't stop the momentum, but absolute beautiful place. Also, while we were there, we weren't just taking in the sights, but we're helping to build a church building. I think there's a picture of pop up. Awesome. And so we're just helping put up the walls. And it was really neat just to be with other, I think we're like probably like 16, 15, 17 year olds working together and wanting to serve God in a work construction project. If we can keep going with some more of the photos. There's me when I was a little bit younger, with some of the, Ecuadorians, which was awesome. And then we'll keep going to the next photo. And then, there's some of the families and the individuals within the village we were at. There's about 48 people in the village, maybe 50. It was a very high altitude, very small village. And I just want to pause on the next picture, which I love. This picture, it just warms my heart. And while I was there, I just want to mention a couple of things I've noticed that if you've been to other countries, you probably have seen this elsewhere. But from my experience, I noticed that those in this village, they didn't have a lot of things that we have. We're there, they didn't have clean water, and so there was like amoebas and parasites and a lot of, especially when we're working with some of the guys doing construction, a lot of them would have a lot of stomach problems and pain, and some of these really strong guys would just take a knee. They just go on in the knee. They wouldn't say anything, but you could look at their face, and there was such pain as these parasites and different things were in their stomach, and it was just incredibly difficult to see, but yet they kept pushing through that. So they didn't have clean water. There wasn't necessarily a lot of food. They had food, but there wasn't a lot, and they didn't have all the comforts of life. Have you ever misplaced your smartphone in the morning and then started to panic, you know? That's a first world problem. I'm like, oh man, where's my alarm clock? Where's my email? How do I get the calendar, right? There's so many things. They didn't have that kind of technology where we were at, especially back in the day. But I'll tell you what they did have. Something I noticed was they had an incredible amount of joy when it came to talking and praising and serving Jesus. There was just a tremendous amount of joy. They didn't have a lot of things that I was thinking was important, especially as a 16-year-old. I was thinking like, how can you even enjoy this kind of lifestyle? It was really humbling for me to realize that they had, I think, a lot more joy than probably most people on the team that were there. I was like, I noticed that. But not just joy with the Lord, but there was just joy in the community. Just being together, doing life together. It was compared to maybe some of our lifestyles. It was very simple. Work very hard and long while it was daylight, and then share meals together, and then in this Christian community wanting to worship Jesus. But it was so beautiful. It was so powerful. And I always remember that. And I want to look at those two elements, that having joy, abiding joy in Jesus, but sharing that in community, taking that not just for something for us to receive, but something else to give to one another. So I want to ask a question this morning, as we're talking about joy. Where would you put your joy level this morning if you could rate it, right? It's kind of hard to rate it, but if you could rate it. If say like, I don't know, like zero was like way down here, and this is like joyless, so no joy. You wouldn't use that word in your life, but joy's here. And then maybe like 10 is up here, and you're just like, I'm overflowing with joy. Like, I just abound with joy. I have so much joy, I just give it away all the time. So that would be like a 10, and then a zero way down here would be like no joy at all. Take a moment, you can think about that. This isn't like a quiz or a test. You have to submit answers publicly. Just as a reflection piece, where would you put your joy meter? Do you find yourself maybe on the more depleted side, maybe closer to a zero? Do you find yourself maybe more in the middle of like, oh, kind of joyful-ish maybe, you know, depending on the moment? Or do you feel like I'm abounding with joy? We'll revisit that at the end of the message, but I wanted to get you thinking about that. So let's look at the words of Jesus in John 15, verses 1 to 12 together. And so Jesus is talking with his disciples, and he says this. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Lost my place. Abide in my love. There we go. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, thank you that you lived this out. God, thank you for the encouragement you gave your disciples. And God, as men and women who want to follow after you, Father, I pray that you would just guide us and lead us, God, in this encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we want to talk about abiding joy for the next couple of minutes and a couple of things that we see in this passage. First off, you see that Jesus is saying, hey, I'm the vine, you're the branches, you're in me. But Heavenly Father, God, he's the vine dresser. And there's a pruning that's taking place in two different areas. One is for the branches that produce no fruit, those are thrown away. They're cut off, and then they're withered, they dry up, and then they're burned. And then there's a second pruning, which is also for those who are now attached to the vine, and that's for those who are actually fruitful. When I was reading this, I kind of wish, honestly, that it says the fruitful branches needed no pruning. They just grew and grew and grew, right? Because to be honest, pruning isn't really fun, right? When we're connected to the Lord and we're growing and you're growing in the Lord, God uses circumstances. You ever notice he uses other people, you know, life to give us opportunities to really prune away things in our life that are not being fruitful? The interesting thing is God, and this is the vine dresser here, but it's cutting back, it's pruning things specifically on the vine, but also in our own life. Not to put us back that way, we go to a lower level, but he's actually pruning us, bringing us back that we might bear more fruit. But I'm sure as all of us can agree with, the pruning process can be painful. And I know for one, it's not one that I'm like, Lord, would you just prune me today so I could be more fruitful? I would rather be like, can I just somehow be more fruitful without the pruning? But that doesn't happen, right? That doesn't happen. Even though it'd be an easier route, it's not one that produces fruit and fruit that will last. So we see two different prunings going on here. And we see this invitation that Jesus is sharing to abide or remain in three different places. One is abide in Jesus. He's like, you abide in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. This idea of being with Jesus and spending time with Jesus and being led by Jesus, you'll bear much fruit. Verse 5 is probably one of the most, I find, one of the more convicting verses from this passage is this: says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bears much fruit. And then it says, for apart from me, you can do, do you remember? Nothing. I'm like, what a sobering verse, right? In Christ, we can bear fruit and we can abide apart from Christ, separated from Christ, detached from the vine. We can do nothing. It doesn't produce any of this kind of fruit. So it talks about abiding in Jesus. Then he talks about abiding in his word, and now that he, not just the word abide in you, but get in you. And so you see the importance of being with Jesus and in Jesus, but you also see the importance of having his words also live and reside within you and through you. And as we're looking through this, I know these are real, probably basic elements of Christianity, and especially knowing Christ as a Christ follower. But as some of you are starting a new semester, or for community members, you might have been here the whole time, these are great, I think, remembers to build a foundation as we're going into the fall semester, that you'll be able to not just get through and survive, but in Christ, thrive in Jesus, thrive in his word, and then in the third thing, abiding in his love. And let's just take a moment to pause. What does that look like in your life, in my life? What does that look like? And it's good personal reflection right here. Am I abiding in Jesus on a regular basis, like a daily basis? Am I abiding in his word? Am I just basking and abiding in his love? Or do those seem more like distant concepts or old memories or experiences from long ago? Or maybe you know a lot of other people who experience, you know, they just love abiding in Jesus. I can see it. They just have that glow. They have that joy kind of overflow. Or, yeah, abiding in his word. I know people who do that, and like, oh, man, I just see the fruit of that. Or, man, I know other people who abide in God's love, and they get filled with love, and then they share love. But the question I want to ask is, where are you today? Are you have a rhythm or regular pattern of just abiding with Jesus in his word and in his love? If you find that maybe it's been long ago or it's a distant memory, you can start up today, amen? You can start up today. You can intentionally, Lord, I want to spend time with you. Lord, would you work within me, allowing the vine dresser to prune away things that don't line up with God? Let his word richly, as we're exposed to and reading it, dwell deeply within. And just enjoying the love of Jesus. I mean, there's nothing better than the love of Jesus. There's so many things that are marketed on TV, on social media, but nothing compares to the love of Jesus. When you get to know the love of your Heavenly Father and how much he cares for you unconditionally, wow, life cannot get better. So many things are marketed at things we want in this world, where Jesus gives us love that's literally out of this world. Hence why my Ecuador experience, I was just amazed at the joy and the love of the men and women and children in this village who had very little access to the things that we had, but yet had access to our Heavenly Father, and they overflowed with joy and with love. We want to abide. So a couple of things in here on fruit. Three things from this passage you see kind of as a benefit or byproduct of abiding in Christ and in his word and in his love. You see answered prayer. If you ask anything, if you're abiding in Christ and his word, notice that those need to come before, because sometimes we can pray for things that really just elevate yourself or myself, right? Am I praying according to God's will or my will? But if you're abiding in Christ and his word is abiding in you and you're more excited about that than anything, then it's much easier to be led by the Holy Spirit to pray according to the Father's will. But it shows here one of the fruit is answered prayer. You ask and it will be given. Another of the fruit, which I entitled the message, is joy. And joy is different than necessarily like happiness. Happiness is like circumstantially based. Joy is something of a byproduct of just being in Jesus, of knowing the love and appreciating the love and just overflowing with the joy that the Lord gives so freely. And the last fruit that's mentioned here is love. That love would be received, but also would be shared. And we'll get to that in a moment. Some additional fruit you'll see in Scripture is in Galatians 5, 22, 24. And some might know this passage, but it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm going to read it one more time. Think if there's any area in your life where you need some of these fruit. Love. A little bit more love in your life. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. And self-control. These are a byproduct and overflow of abiding in Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Because sometimes we want to strive to have these things as if we can somehow get to them outside of a relationship with Christ. but in a relationship with Jesus, it overflows. He says, against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. 2 Peter 1:5-8 says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and with virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For in these qualities are yours and are increasing. They keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful, we're talking about the whole fruit, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm believing that God wants to bear much fruit in our lives this fall semester. Amen? To start our new year, if we will let him. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to go down to the farmer's market in Potsdam, and I got there early. I realized showing up at 1 o'clock, you don't necessarily get the best pick. So I showed up at 9, right when it opened, and it was like a whole new world. I didn't know there was all these other fruits and vegetables that everyone else took. So now I was that guy. And I was there, and they had these gorgeous, juicy, fat peaches and like nectarines. And I got them, I brought them home, and we kind of had like a late breakfast with the family. And they were amazing. Like, the fruit was incredible. I was like, this is so good. I was so excited to bring that back. Crystal and I, we have some great neighbors. And one of our neighbors, he has a pear tree on his farm. And he just has an overabundance of fruit. And so because he has an overabundance of fruit, he continually just shares it with those around him. He shares it with his family. He shares it with neighbors. And so he brings us over this thing, all these pears. And he's like, you got to give a little time. They'll get ripe in about a week. And he's like, if you like these pears, I'll give you a whole bunch more pears. And then when it's in the fall and apples, we get like bags of apples like this big. It's incredible. It's amazing to see trees that are fruitful. There's not just enough fruit for my neighbor or for his family. He has so much fruit, he can share it with others freely and generously, asking nothing in return. I believe that's a neat picture of what the fruit that Jesus wants to develop in you and through you can look like. It's not like, oh, Lord, you just barely give me enough peace for me. No, you're like my neighbor. You have so much fruit blossoming, the fruit of the Spirit, abiding with Jesus, that you have plenty to share. So when you're on the college campus and you notice that someone's lacking in joy, hey, I got some joy to share. It's connected to Jesus. Can I tell you about it? Or there's so many people that are struggling, not just college students, but community, high school, middle school. We have parents. When it's coming to the school situation with COVID guidelines, stress, anxiety, right? Anxiety. The idea, Lord, as I'm abiding in you, that peace that surpasses all understanding would guard my heart and mind. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't change the situations. But Lord, I am changed from within, and I got plenty of fruit to share. What we receive from God, let's give freely as a gift to others and point to the source. The whole goal of all of this is not to be like, wow, you seem like the most peaceful, joyful, loving person you've met. The whole goal of this is that when people would see Christ in you, that they would praise our Heavenly Father in heaven, that he would receive all glory. Amen? That there would be more worshipers at Clarkson, at SUNY Potsdam, and St. Lawrence University, and SUNY Canton, here in the village of Potsdam and town of Potsdam, surrounding areas, more worshipers would rise up. They would taste and see that the Lord is good. They have a hunger. People have a hunger for Christ, and they try to satisfy it with so many other things. But until you see that Christ is the only one that satisfies, that hunger will still exist. And Jesus says, you can taste and see that I am good. He's available even today. If you don't know the love of Christ, you can just ask them, Lord, I want to know you more today. So last thing I want to mention is love. It's talking about, in the last verse I read, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Pretty simple to read, hard to do. Pretty simple to read, right? Hard to do. I really wish Jesus said, this is a really great suggestion I have for Christ followers. Love people. Because if it's a suggestion, I can kind of choose, well, maybe Jesus wasn't really serious about all kinds of people, just people I like. It's a commandment. That's different than a suggestion, right? Or even advice. This is a commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. So it's not even our version of love, which is amazing. Because sometimes, I have to be honest, I like to choose, you know, how I love or who I love, or if I love, maybe I get something bad, you know what I mean? That's all conditional. Jesus has unconditional love. I remember I had a pruning experience when I was a camp counselor at a camp in Berea. And I had about 13, probably like, I don't know, I think there were like probably high schoolers, 15, 16, 17-year-olds. And I was doing this week after week. If you've ever done camp ministry, it's awesome, but it's exhausting. And I had a great crew. It was a great group of guys, except one of the guys was a little bit more challenging. And this was my growth opportunity. I didn't realize at the time that the Lord presented. This one student who was there just did not want to be there. Everything we did was always like resisting it, wouldn't obey it, wouldn't do what I said, and ultimately would always bring down the group. Now, you might imagine a lot of the parents are sending their kids so they can have a fun time at camp, right? And I was getting, I'll be honest, I get really annoyed at this kid. I was like, man, this guy's just like, why are you even, you don't want to be here? I don't want you to be here either. That's how I felt. If you could go home. And then I found out he brought some things he shouldn't have brought into camp, and I talked to parents. It was just like, oh man, God, what's the deal? Like, all I do is correct this kid all day long. I'm losing my mind. Like, can't he just go away? It would make it a lot easier for me. Then the Lord spoke to me. He's like, Jim, you need to love him the way I love him. I was like, I am loving him. And God made it very clear. He's like, you're loving him the way you want to love him. And you're loving because he's giving you nothing back. You just want to stop loving. But we know Jesus doesn't love like that, right? And so the Lord told me, you need to be intentional about empowering him and encouraging him in anything he does good. And I told God, he does zero things good. That's how I felt. You, if you're not in a situation, you're like, that's silly, Jim. But you know, if you're in that situation, this person's evil. There's no good in there. God's like, look a little harder. So I knew he was a skater, and they had a skate park there, which is pretty cool back in the day when people skateboarded. So we went down, like, hey, show me your tricks in the skate park. So seeing him, you know, can you do stuff on the half pipe? Can you do stuff on the rail? You know, all these little boxes, really cool. I would try and get injured, and then he would do it. And and I would just look at intentionality. I'm like, you know what? You're a great skateboarder. I want to speak some life into you. Or I noticed that sometimes he would help cleaning up the table, which I didn't really notice, and I would speak into that. There was still a lot of correction needed, but God was pruning me with this relationship to realize my love was not quite like Jesus' love for this student. And even though he wasn't radically changed in the moment, it didn't really change how he responded to me, I'll tell you what, I was changed in that moment, amen? I was changed to look more like Jesus. This very difficult person was helping me look more like Christ. We're not going to have a show of hands. Do you know some difficult people to love? Some difficult people to love? Yeah, don't raise your hand. Sorry, yeah. And don't point to anybody unless they're out in the tent. No, I'm just kidding. Or vice versa. Don't point to people inside here. But I think we all could think, I know some people that are hard to love. If you can't think of anyone, then you know what they say. That might be you, right? I don't know. That's not actually like an algorithm or a true thing. But I think we all be honest. There's some people that are hard to love. I think the invitation is to ask the Lord, Lord, would you help me to love them like you? Because I have a version of love that is getting messy and it's a lot lower. But Jesus, could I love in a way and care for someone and speak love even when hate is coming back at me in a way that would honor and glorify you? So we're going to take a moment to apply what I mentioned earlier in this service. If you weren't here earlier, we're going to take a moment just to express God's love to two people if you would like to participate. This isn't like mandatory. It's a suggestion, not a commandment. But we're going to take out cell phones. You can take out a cell phone. And maybe you've thought of someone. If you got here late, what we're doing is we're just going to ask God, or maybe two people that come to your mind, who would you like to encourage today? It could be a family member, a friend, coworker, someone back home. The cool thing with text messages, they don't even have to be up here. For students, maybe someone back home in your state, wherever. Let's encourage two people today and just send them a message. You can make it more fancy, but I was going to use the phrase, you are loved. You can just say that. And this isn't an invitation to start a dating relationship off this, but if it does work, let me know. That would be very interesting. So, I'd be like, oh, thanks, Jim. You really sealed the deal. So take a moment. Let's send two text messages out. So I'm just going to take a moment. You can take a moment. Just text two people. You are loved, and you could expound on that if you want. Two people, like, pop in your mind. Cool. Just text two people. I hope you potentially were able to do that as well. And I would encourage us, as you're still doing that, with COVID, there's so much relational separation. Let's put a little intentionality this week, and maybe if you want to try it just for 7 days, to intentionally ask the Lord, after you spend time with him or whatever, God, is there anyone I could bless today, anyone I could love today? Maybe it's as simple as sending this text message, that's fine, but that's just one idea. You could ask the Holy Spirit. He might be like, send someone a little Dunkin' Donuts gift card, or someone, you know, struggling financially, you want to anonymously bless them with a gift, or I don't know, the Lord can give you creativity. But the idea is to receive God's love, but then ask the Lord, how can I express that and show that to someone else this week? How can I do it in a way that doesn't make, you know, the individual who's sending it, like me or you, elevate it, but in a way of like, why did you send that message? You are loved. It's like, oh man, I just want to just let you know that you're loved and that God loves you and he's awesome and care about you too. I encourage us, let's be active in our love. Let's not make it a passive love, because that's not the type of love Jesus used. So a couple of reflection questions. I'll invite the musicians up at this time. In a moment, we'll have some time of just praise and worship and reflection. So a couple of reflection questions. So what does daily abiding in Jesus, in his word, and in his love look like in your life? Is that a regular thing, a daily thing, a weekly thing, a monthly thing? I want to encourage you to find a pattern, set a time, whatever you have to do to make that a daily part of your life. People, circumstances in life are opportunities for us to grow. James 1 says to consider it pure joy when you face various trials. Pure joy when you face various trials. Because you know that God's doing something within you. Having that perspective. I put on here, how is God aligning your perspective with God to help you have a bigger picture of what God is doing in your life? Kind of like me with a student at camp, I had a very small perspective of what this student needed. God had a much bigger one. He's like, somebody in his life needs to show him unconditional love. And in your relationships, that very well could be you to share that with someone this week. What fruit do you see in your life or would long to see? Answered prayer, joy, love. Is there things that you're like, just be honest, I don't have that. But Lord, I want to be with you. If there's anything you got to do within me to let that fruit grow. Sometimes fruit comes instantly with Jesus, right? But there's often a lot of times there's a maturing process. My neighbor gave me those pears. He's like, you can eat them now, but they won't be ripe really until a week. And sometimes it takes a little bit, right? And sometimes if we're not seeing the instant fruit, we can give up. But let's not grow weary. Let's continue to press into God. And then lastly, just as a way to reflect on this, but who can you show and share the love of Jesus with this week? Especially as we start a new semester, students on campus, in the community. I know public school for high schoolers, middle school, elementary, I believe is in the next 2 weeks or less. There's going to be an opportunity to be equipped with love that you might be able to share that with others. As there are so many people, including ourselves, there's people here I'm sure hurting today in different areas. God wants to meet you in that. But there's also other people who are hurting around us who have yet to hear the hope of Jesus that God would love for you to share with. So let's take a moment to pray as we begin to respond in praise and worship. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, that you love us. God, thank you that you love us in our brokenness, in our sin. Lord, I just pray that we could receive that now. And for any who are, you're just hurting, you're aching, you're just feeling dissatisfied, discouraged, maybe in pain, maybe you've been hurt recently. And it's just like, God, I need you, Lord. Would you fill my heart, my soul? Would you refresh me, renew me? May I know your love wrapped around me like a heavenly Father. Lord, we just invite you, God, to work within our heart today. But Lord, I also pray that we could love hurting people around us. God, may we not be stuck just to see people's hurt and just stop there. But God, may we press through that with love and care for people the way you do. God, I pray that you would receive more glory, more honor, and praise this week. In Jesus' name, amen.